Hello, my name is Leah Feinberg. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Megillat Esther, Perek Gimel. Chapter 3 begins with the words, Achar hadvarim ha'ele, gidal ha'melech Achashverosh et Haman. After these things, King Achashverosh promoted Haman. To what things does this ambiguous phrase refer? Rashi paraphrases the Talmud, Achar shenivret refuazo lihiyot letshual Yisrael, shehakadosh baruch hu borei refua lemakatan shel Yisrael, kodem sheyavi hamaka aleihem. After the antidote, which would serve as the instrument of salvation for the Jewish people, had been created, for Hashem always creates the antidote prior to any plague or suffering the Jewish people will endure before bringing any threat upon them. The elevation of Haman to a superior position only happens after Hashem has already created the antidote to the threat that he will pose to the survival of the Jewish people. Thus, everything that has happened until now in our story, the deposition of Vashti, the selection of Esther as queen, which could never have happened under ordinary circumstances, but required a scenario in which even someone no one would have considered eligible might ascend to the throne. And even the incident in which Mordechai, who was only present in the king's courtyard out of concern for Esther, overheard, and as a member of the Sanhedrin, who understood all 70 languages of the world, not only overheard, but understood the plot of Bigtan and Teresh to kill the king, and after Esther had reported this information to the king, and it was verified and recorded in the king's chronicles, only then was Haman elevated to a position which he would use to threaten the existence of the Jewish people. The text, as interpreted by Chazal, is sensitizing us to the hidden presence of God in the story. The phrase Achar Hadvarim Ha'ele is a literary tool linking a series of events that may seem random and even bizarre, but are in fact ordained and connected by divine design. Achashverosh elevated Haman, placing him above all his other officers, and the servants of the king all bowed and prostrated before Haman as the king had commanded. But Mordechai would not bow and would not prostrate. The king's servants asked Mordechai, "Why do you transgress the king's command?" And they would pester him daily, day in and day out, but he paid no attention to them. Undoubtedly somewhat miffed, they told Haman and waited to see whether Mordechai's word would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. When Haman took note of the fact that Mordechai wasn't bowing and prostrating before him, he was filled with anger. He considered it beneath him to lay his hand upon Mordechai alone, for they had told him of Mordechai's nationality. The Alshich HaKadosh explains that the reason Haman became so vindictive towards the entire nation simply because of the refusal of Mordechai, one individual, to submit to his authority, was because the servants of the king told him not just of Mordechai's nationality, but his lineage, that he was descended from Shaul HaMelech, the same King Saul who had attempted to eradicate Amalek, the family of Haman himself. Thus, Vayivakesh Haman lahashmid et kol haYehudim asher b'chol malchut Achashverosh am Mordechai. Haman sought to destroy all of the Jews in the realm of Achashverosh, the nation of Mordechai. In the first month, the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of the reign of Achashverosh, Haman drew lots for the day and month upon which to destroy the Jews, which fell upon the 12th month, the month of Adar. Haman then said to Achashverosh, in verse 8, Yeshno am echad, mifuzar umforad bein ha'amim, bechol medinot malchutecha, vedateihem shonot mikol am, ואת דתי המלך אינם עושים, ולמלך אין שווה להניחם. There is a nation scattered and dispersed among all the provinces of your realm, and their practices are different from those of everyone else. They do not follow the dictates of the king, and it is not worth the king's while to tolerate them. If it pleases the king, let it be written to destroy them, and I will arrange for 10,000 weights of silver to be transferred to the treasury of the king." And the king removed his ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, son of Hammedata the Agagite, aggressor of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, "The money is yours as well as the people, to do as you please." It is significant that Haman did not name the nation that was his object to Ahasuerus. Had Ahasuerus known that Haman was referring to the Jews, it is possible, even probable, that he would not have acquiesced so easily. The Jews were known as a wise and understanding people, and had served in the highest echelons as loyal advisors to kings and rulers. Yosef had served Paro in Mitzrayim, and Daniel had served in the court of Belshazzar. It was also known that the Jews were protected by God, and their enemies could only succeed if God were to be angry at the Jewish people and withhold his divine protection. Therefore, Chazal interpret Haman's expression, "Yeshno Am Echad," as a reassurance to Ahasuerus, "Yeshenim min ha-mitzvot," they are asleep in their observance of the commandments, which is further explained in two ways. Either they are asleep and not performing the mitzvot as required, or alternatively, they are fulfilling the commandments, but as if in their sleep, routinely, joylessly, and without the proper intentions, and are therefore worthy of God's anger. Moreover, he described the people as mifuzar umfarad bein ha'amim, scattered and dispersed among the nations, implying that they are a fractured people who can't get along even with one another, even when exiled among the nations. Chazal state in Masechet Megillah 13b, "Leka diada lishna bisha kehaman." Never was there such a skilled slanderer as Haman, who could twist any statement to give it a negative slant. Maharal explains that this should have been the highest praise of the Jewish people, that even in exile, scattered among the nations, they hold on to their distinct identity and don't assimilate into the surrounding culture. Nevertheless, having indulged in the feast of Ahasuerus, they forfeited the privilege of that lofty praise, and it is interpreted in keeping with the incrimination of Haman. Haman further argued that the religious beliefs of the Jewish people threatened the integrity of the empire, for their beliefs are not just theoretical, but involve practices that set the Jews apart from everyone else and prevent them from behaving in accordance with the standards of the empire. Thus, he convinced the king that not only is it not worth his while to tolerate them, he has a vested interest in removing such a threat from his kingdom. In verse 12, the king's scribes were called in on the 13th day of the first month, and it was written, as Haman commanded, to all the viceroys and administrators of the kingdom in all the provinces, and the ministers of each nationality, to each in his own language, in the name of the king and sealed with the king's signet ring. Scrolls were sent in the hands of the runners to all of the provinces of the king, decreeing that they destroy, kill, and eradicate all the Jews, young and old, men, women, and children, on one day, the 13th of Adar, and to plunder the spoils. The text of the letter was given as law in every province, displayed openly for all to see, to prepare for that day. The runners went out hurriedly at the king's word, and the law was given in the capital city of Shushan. The king and Haman sat down to drink, and the city of Shushan was in a state of confusion. According to the commentators, a careful reading of the text indicates that there were two sets of letters sent by Haman. The first set, described in verses 12 and 13, was a detailed and explicit set of instructions to destroy the Jews and was addressed to the Achashdar Pnei HaMelech, ואל הפחות אשר על מדינה ומדינה ואל שרי עם ועם. The local rulers, who hated the Jews and would keep the specific information to themselves. And the second set, described in verse 14, was displayed openly before all the people, simply stating that they should prepare themselves for a campaign of destruction to take place 11 months hence on the 13th of Adar. Thus, while the king and Haman sat down to celebrate, the city of Shushan was in a state of confusion. Shushan, as the capital city, hosted representatives of all the provinces and conquered nations of the empire, and its population, not knowing which nation was to be the object of destruction, was thrown into a state of fear and confusion. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.